Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we began our look at the testimony of Marion Proctor, the older sister of Maggie Murdoch. In this installment, we continue our review of Ms. Proctor's testimony. That's all coming up right after the break.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
It is the afternoon of February 14th, 2023, day 15 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, Marion Proctor told prosecutor Creighton Waters about her positive relationships with both her nephew Paul Murdoch and her sister Maggie. She also described Maggie's lack of involvement in the family's financial affairs, and asserted that the family's Moselle property was not her favorite place to spend time. As we begin this installment, Waters transitions to asking Ms. Proctor about Maggie's feelings toward the family seaside property at Edisto.
And in the summertime, where did Maggie typically prefer to be? Edisto?
She loved the beach, yes.
Do you are you familiar with what people refer to as the boat crash?
I am.
And to your general recollection, that happened around February of 2019?
Correct.
After the boat crash, did the family, and particularly Maggie, feel like what she felt, some sort of backlash in the community or some sort of negative reaction that bothered her?
She did. That was a devastating blow for their family. It was a horrible accident, but it was an accident. And Maggie felt like the Hampton community had turned against her. And Paul was being mistreated. People would say mean things to him, call him names, social media, you know, inappropriate things were said to him. Inappropriate things were said to him when he went back to school. And it was very hard on the family. It was very stressful.
Is that also part of the reason that Maggie preferred staying in Edisto?
I think so, yes.
During this time period, did Maggie start looking for a house somewhere else?
She did. They sold their Hampton house, and she was looking in the Hilton Head, Bluffton area for something. She had been looking in that area for a while.
Okay. Did she find anything she liked?
She did. She found one house that she just loved, and she called me and my parents to come down and take a look at it. And I believe Alec was there, too. And she really thought that they might make an offer on that house, but in the end, they did not. I think Alec advised her that the timing was just not right with the boat case going on.
So we move closer to June 7th of 2021. I believe you testified that the family had received some bad prognosis on Mr. Randolph. Is that correct?
Yes. Maggie called me that day and said she was at Edisto. She had some men working on the house, and Mr. Randolph was not doing well at all, and Alec really wanted her to come home that night. She hadn't planned on it, but that he needed her to come home, and Paul was going to be there too. And I said, well, Maggie, I said, you know, Alec and his dad are super close, and that's probably what you should do. Go be with him if he needs you.
She said that Alec wanted her to come home that night?
Yes.
What was your understanding of Maggie's intent or what they were going to do that night?
I was under the impression they were going over to Almeda to visit his parents.
And that's why Alec wanted Maggie to come home?
Correct.
And that was from your conversation with her?
Yes.
She called you to let you know that that's what Alec had called her about?
Yes.
You said she was having some work done at Edisto on June 7th?
Yes, just maintenance work, getting it ready for the summer.
You encouraged her to go to Moselle?
I did.
Was that the last time you talked to her?
Yes.
Prosecutor Waters hands Ms. Proctor a tissue to wipe away her tears.
Do you remember about what time of day that was?
I think it was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think Maggie loved to call me when she was driving. She was always driving from, you know, Moselle to Edisto to Charleston. And I think it was around 4 that afternoon.
What was the rest of your day like? Just a normal day?
Just a normal day.
Did you go to bed that evening?
Actually, we were not in bed. We were watching a movie. It was just Bart and me at home that night.
Bart and your husband? Tell me how you found out.
John, I didn't even realize this was going on. We were watching a movie, and Bart had gotten up to, I thought, go into the kitchen, and he had a text from John Marvin saying that there had No, I'm sorry, a text from Randy saying that there had been a tragedy and could Bart please call him on his cell phone. He had called on Alec's cell phone but wanted Bart to call him back on his cell phone.
So what happened?
So Bart went outside and called him. So I still didn't know anything was going on and told him that Maggie and Paul had been shot. They were dead.
What was your reaction?
I just couldn't believe it. I didn't think it was true. I said, there has to be a mistake. I said, there's got to be some explanation. It just can't be them.
What did y'all do after that?
We gathered up our things and we went to tell my parents. And they live in Somerville. My mom had just had knee replacement surgery. So when we got to Somerville, I called and I said, Mom, we're on the way. And we've got some bad news to share, but I want to be with you. And so she was sitting in her recliner chair with her leg all bundled up. And so we got there, and both of my parents were there, and I think my mom went into shock. She couldn't be still, and she just kept making these noises, and it was just the worst.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prosecutor Creighton Waters continues his direct examination of Marion Proctor by asking her about her activities in the days after the murders of Maggie and Paul.
Did you go to Moselle at any point?
We pretty much stayed with my parents all night. We went back home, showered, and then we all went to Moselle the next morning.
Over the next few days, were y'all staying back in Somerville and going to Moselle, or what were you and your parents doing in Bart?
So we had family coming in from Kentucky, and Some of them were staying with me. Some of them were staying with my parents. But we were in Moselle every day. We were planning the funeral, doing the just we were in Moselle after every day after that until the funeral.
Did that shock of finding out last for a while?
I'm sorry?
Did that shock of finding out last for a while?
It's still hard to face.
When you got to Moselle, did you see Alec, the defendant?
I did.
Did y'all hug?
We did.
Cry?
We did.
Over the course of the next couple of days, or in the aftermath, as the shock was wearing off just a little bit, did you have any conversation with Alec about what had happened?
I didn't talk to Alec a lot. Alec was just really busy, and the whole town was coming to see him, and he was very, very, very torn up. I did at one point ask him if Maggie suffered, and he assured me that she did not. Now, I don't know that I think that's true. And I asked if Paul had suffered, and he said no. And then later I asked him, I said, Alec, do you have any idea who's done this? I said, we have got to find out who could do this. And he said that he did not know who it was, but he felt like whoever did it had thought about it for a really long time.
Whoever had done it had thought about it for a really long time. Did that strike you as odd?
I just didn't know what that meant.
Were you ever privy or have any discussion with anything Alec said about whether or not he went to the kennels that night?
I personally did not talk to him about that, but he told my mom that he had dinner with Maggie and Paul, and then he took a nap, which he did. That was kind of a routine. He would lay down on the sofa at night after work and take a nap.
But he said he never went to the kennel.
Correct.
After your conversation with Maggie, your last conversation with her, did it strike you as odd that she didn't go to the kennels or go to Alameda with Alec?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because that's the whole reason she went home that night.
Did you think from your conversation with Maggie that she was planning to see Mr. Randolph too?
I thought so. I didn't realize that Mr. Randolph wasn't there at the time.
That was a surprise to you?
Mm-hmm.
In the days and weeks following Maggie and Paul's murder, did Alec ever say anything about the boat case?
We would talk about the boat case, and he was very intent on clearing Paul's name.
What did he say?
He said that his number one goal was clearing Paul's name. And I thought that was so strange because my number one goal was to find out who killed my sister and Paul.
But that wasn't Alec's concern, main concern?
I know he must have wanted that too, but it just, I don't know how he could have thought about anything else.
But he talked about the boat case. You ever act scared or afraid that the real killers were out there somewhere or anything like that, or was he concerned with the boat case?
We were afraid. We didn't know what was going on. My family was scared. I was scared for Alec and Buster. I felt like they needed protection. I think everybody was afraid, and Alec didn't seem to be afraid.
Did he also talk about getting Buster back into law school?
Yes.
After the murders? Maggie loved those dogs, didn't she?
She did.
She liked going down there and playing with them?
She did.
Would she tend to walk down there, or would she take another way to get down?
If she was dieting, she'd walk. Sometimes she'd ride her bicycle, and she'd take the car, she'd go. You know, just whatever she felt like, take her car, take one of the golf cart things.
She wasn't a hunter, though, was she?
No.
What'd she think about those AR-style guns that the boys have?
She seemed to be fine with those. I remember when she wanted to give them those for Christmas, and I just growing up with girls and not in a hunting world, I said, Maggie, why would you give those boys those guns? And she said, they love to shoot hogs, and which I understood that the hogs were tearing up their property, but it just scared me that they would, that the boys would have such a dangerous weapon. But I know nothing about guns, so...
Thank you for testifying. Please answer any questions the defense may have.
With that, Creighton Waters concludes his direct examination of Ms. Proctor. Jim Griffin rises to begin his cross of the witness. Griffin appears to catch his own emotions as he asks Ms. Proctor his first question.
Hey. I'm sorry, this is hard for me too. Maggie was a very special person, wasn't she?
She was.
And she and Alec had a very special relationship, didn't they?
They did.
And they had a very special family, did they not?
They did.
And they loved to do things together as a family, didn't they?
They did.
And they, and it just wasn't Alec and Maggie and Paul and Buster, but your parents were part of their family, right?
Yes.
And I doubt you've heard all the testimony here in court, but a lot of Paul's friends referred to your dad as Papa T. Is that what people refer to him as?
Yes.
And your mother as Grandma?
Yes.
And it sort of seemed like Paul and Buster's friends were part of your parents' extended family. Is that right?
Yes.
And you and your husband and Bart and your children, y'all would all vacation together with, not necessarily with Buster and Paul's friends, but with Maggie and Alec and Paul and Buster. And y'all did things as a family a lot.
We did.
And Alec was really close to your parents, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he considered your dad as one of his best friends, I believe.
He was very kind to my dad.
Right. And y'all would vacation, I think you and your husband have a house in the Keys. You would vacation there, right?
Correct.
And y'all would do a lot together, you place up in off Lake Kiwi.
Correct.
And you said Maggie was a girl, but she took to the boys and learned to be a mother of two rambunctious sons, right?
She did.
And you said earlier that about sporting events that Maggie never missed any of Paul and Buster's sporting events. Is that right?
Correct.
And Alec was there right by Maggie at every sporting event, wasn't he?
Coaching
most of the time. The weeks leading up to the horrific day of June the 7th, you had a family get-together up at Kiwi?
We did.
And your daughter was, you're having a baby shower for your daughter.
Right.
You're about to be a grandmother for the first time?
Yes.
Yeah. And where was it?
My daughter lives in Greenville.
Okay. And it was the weekend, I think, of May 21st?
I think it was the weekend before Memorial Day weekend.
Right. And I'm going to show you a photo and see if you recognize this photo. And it's Fenris Exhibit 122.
Yes.
Jim Griffin hands Ms. Proctor a document.
Do you recognize that?
I took that picture.
You took that picture?
I did.
Griffin has the photo displayed on the monitor for the jury. It shows Maggie, Paul, Buster, and Alex Murdoch posing together as a family in the countryside. Each member of the family is smiling.
Can you pull up 122, Doug? You know, I'm not sure, Marion, if the jury actually seen the picture of Maggie in this trial. She's obviously the only female here in this photo.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all favor each other greatly, right?
We do.
And this was a weekend, just a couple of, you said the weekend before Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's Buster on the left?
Yes.
And that's Paul?
Right.
and then Maggie and Alex, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did you see Maggie again after being with her up in above Greenville?
I did not.
So that was the last time you were together with her?
Mm-hmm. She, they were at Edisto for Memorial Day, and then the next weekend was my birthday, and we were back in the upstate, and then I got the call on Monday.
And you understand, the weekend after Memorial Day, Alec and Maggie went to Columbia for a super regional baseball game with Buster and his girlfriend, Brooklyn?
Right.
You were aware of that?
I am.
And you mentioned that Maggie was a big Carolina fan, and Alec was a big Carolina fan, right?
They both graduated from there.
And they went to a lot of the Carolina sporting events as a couple?
Yes.
Right. And I know we've talked about this, and I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but Maggie did a lot for Alex's mom and dad, but didn't it make her somewhat sad to go over and visit his mother because of her condition?
Absolutely.
And it was really not high on her list of things that she wanted to do.
Maggie went there a lot. She just didn't feel like she needed to go every day like Alec liked to go.
And Alec would go every day and sometimes more than once a day.
As much as he could, he did.
Maggie cared for Mr. Randolph, and I know she loved him. I'm talking about she would, you know, prepare food for him and tried to spoil him, wouldn't she?
It was the no-salt diet.
Right.
And they were all struggling to cook food that he would eat with no salt.
And she experimented with different things, hopefully that he would enjoy. Right.
Right. The whole family was taking turns and trying to provide meals.
And you know now that on the 7th, I think in the afternoon, and we'll establish this later, but, you know, around 4:30, Mr. Randolph got admitted back to the hospital in Savannah.
I know that now.
Right. And you said earlier that you expected from your conversation with Maggie that she was going to go over to Almeda and see Alec's parents on the evening of the 7th. But and you found it odd afterwards when you found out she didn't?
Correct.
But knowing that Alec's dad was not there and he was back in the hospital, it doesn't really seem that odd anymore, does it?
Probably not.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the defense cross-examination of Marion Proctor. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast, Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie and Tholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.